Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship here at Second Baptist Church. So glad you chose to worship with us today. It is a great day to be in the Lord's house, and I just want to extend a very special welcome to those who may be our guests today, whether here in person or online watching. We just want to say welcome, and we also want to say we'd love to get to know you better. If you're here in person, in the pew back in front of you is a card. If you could fill that out at some point during the service, and then as you leave this morning, place it in the offering plate. We just want to have a little more information about you so that we may know you better, maybe how we can serve you as Second Baptist Church. Also, there's an opportunity online. If you go to our website, sbcr.org, there's a button that says, I'm new. You can let us know some information about yourself that way, and we'd love to connect with you. Say, first of all, today, this morning, thank you for all those who were involved with our Vacation Bible School last week. It was a tremendous week. We had a great time, had a great group of kids here all week long, and even Thursday night, family night. It was just a wonderful time of fellowship there. We were able to connect with some families as a result, and so be praying for those seeds of the gospel that were planted. We had some children that were expressing some questions, which is awesome, and we're going to do some follow-up with them, and hopefully pretty soon we might have a report of a salvation. Amen? That'd be wonderful. Also want to say a word of thanks. That we had a group of individuals come up Friday morning, and we started doing some deconstruction. If you've noticed in the bulletin, we've got some renovation happening here in the life of our church and our fellowship hall. So thank you to those that came up for that. And with that, I just want to give you a little bit of announcement. We are doing some work on Tuesday morning. We may need some help Wednesday evening from about 5 to 7. We won't know until we get into it on Tuesday as far as what we can get accomplished. So what we'll do is, if we need some help on Wednesday evening, we'll send out a one call Tuesday afternoon. How's that sound? And in fact, if we do that on Wednesday, we'll have some pizza available so you can come on at around 5 o'clock and see what we can get accomplished. All right, but we'll send a one call Tuesday afternoon late if we need that help. Also wanted to mention that tomorrow there is a Young at Heart trip to the Capitol building. We will leave here from the church at 10:30, so be aware of that if you're wanting to go and participate in that. Tomorrow morning, 10:30, to the Capitol building, Young at Heart. And this is actually for all ages, so if you want to go and be a part of that trip, I'm sure there's going to be lunch involved. I don't know. I don't see Steve in here, but maybe even some ice cream. I know sometimes on those trips there's a stop for ice cream. So if that kind of whets your appetite for that, come by 10:30 tomorrow for that trip to the Capitol building. I also want to let you know that this week, if you haven't had an opportunity to grab a bottle, as we've been this campaign, Bottles for Babies, with our local Choices Pregnancy Resource Clinic, Mother's Day to Father's Day, you grab a bottle, fill it with change, with cash, with a check, however you would choose to give. We need those bottles back next week, because next week is Father's Day. So be aware of that. If you have one of those bottles, be sure and bring it back next Sunday. You see there in the bulletin, you've got several opportunities to be on mission this summer. One trip is already scheduled. We've got our Ghana team ready to go here toward the end of this month. So be in prayer for that. Those team members, you see them listed here in your bulletin. Please be praying for that opportunity. Many of you know from Pastor Chris's testimony from last year of how many individuals prayed to receive Christ, how many churches that were planted as a result. And let me tell you something, our kids, this past week, we had an offering, a little challenge to the boys and girls, and I believe there was over $200 raised to provide drums and other things for these churches that will be planted as a result of our mission team and the mission team from Crescent Valley in Oklahoma. So be praying for that trip. It's an exciting time for our church to be a part of what God is doing in another part of the world. Amen. Also, you have there the Memphis Mission. I can't hardly talk this morning. The Memphis Mission Trip that's going to be happening July 10th through the 14th. We've been trying the past 2 years to do that because of COVID and other reasons. Just hasn't happened, but we're planning to take a group this year. So if you're interested in that, you can either talk to Pastor Chris or talk to me, call the office. We'll give you some details on that trip. And then the following week, there's an opportunity to be on mission here in Arkansas. Our local association is going to be taking a group to the Delta. We're going to be working with Shell Lake Baptist and some other churches there on the east side of the state, some opportunities with Vacation Bible School, with carnivals, with construction. So if you're interested in that at all, let me know and I'll give you some more info and you can know how to register for that. We do plan to take a team with that. Wow, that was a lot, wasn't it? There's a lot happening during the summer, amen? And that's a wonderful thing for the life of our church. And I just want to encourage you to be praying as God moves during the summer. I didn't even talk about camp that's coming up at the end of July, but just a lot of activity for us to be on mission, to do ministry. And I just want to say up front this morning, thank you for faithfully giving, because it makes things like I just talked about happen here in the life of our church. And even though you're not physically involved, because you give, you are involved, amen? And you can see the results of what God is doing in the life of our church. This morning, as we come to this part of our service, that we raise our voices to God and we sing praises to His name, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. I know last week was just an incredibly busy week for us here at the church, and we're so thankful what God did through our Vacation Bible School and what He will continue to do. But I want to ask you to quiet your heart. And again, just give praise to God, because He is good. Sometimes there's a lot of junk, a lot of mess that happens in our lives. But, you know, if we look closely enough, we see our good God at work. And maybe in this moment, we just praise Him because He loves us, because He gives us wisdom when we need to make a decision. Sometimes those decisions are hard and we don't know what to do. Just thank Him for all the ways that He has blessed you in this moment. Father in heaven, You are truly a good God. And we do thank You for how You work in our lives and in the life of our church. God, in the various ministries and the mission opportunities that we have. Father, thank You for always being at work. Thank You for just the good gifts that You give us on a daily basis. And for that we say, we want to lift our voices today in praise to You, because You deserve all honor and all glory. So as we have this time to lift our voices, God, would You come and inhabit the praise of Your people? For Father, Your nearness to us is truly our good. May all we say and do during this time bring honor to Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing Love Lifted Me?
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Rise no more, but the Master of the sea.
Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to Matthew chapter 22? I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning in this message. I want to introduce to you a couple of truths that come from this passage of Scripture, and then examine a couple of other passages that I really feel like break down or maybe help us to flesh out a little bit of what these truths really involve. Now, obviously, I can't speak to these truths exhaustively today, but I want to give you maybe somewhat of a framework for how these two truths can play out in your life. You see from your notes and from the screen that the title of today's sermon is Life's Aim. I wonder if you've ever had a moment in your life. Some of us may have had more opportunities than others because we've been on this earth a little bit longer than some others. But I wonder if you've ever aimed for something. Maybe you were throwing something to someone, at someone, and then your aim wasn't so good. Maybe when you threw that, maybe it didn't hit that person, but it hit someone else because your aim was off. Anybody ever had that happen to you? All right, I've got some, you know, sometimes our aim is off. That's what I'm getting at, right? Sometimes, for those of you who hunt, you know, you have some extra help with the scope, but even with the scope, when you're fixing your eyes on the target, sometimes you don't factor in other things such as the wind and maybe even the distance. Maybe you misread the distance, and as a result, you do not hit your target. Your aim is off. You know, sometimes in our lives we have goals, right? And we aim for those goals. But for whatever reason, maybe we experience some setbacks. Maybe we shouldn't even have been aiming for that goal, and yet we still miss it. Sometimes, even in life, we might have a certain goal, and because our aim was off, we actually hit something that we should have been aiming for in the first place. I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but it's been a blessing to me when that has happened. Because sometimes God knows that my aim is off. Because, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes I operate as if I know more than what God does. My family would probably attest to that. I can't talk to Michelle or Ethan this morning. They're up and helping in children's church. They would tell me, if you would ask Erica, they would tell you as well. You've got Kelvin upstairs. You got Becca over here. You got Dad and Mary right there. So you can get a lot of information about how my life at time, my aim has been off. I've just missed it. And truly, it's because I have developed an understanding about my life in those moments that I know better than God. And that's arrogance, by the way. I don't know if you understand. That's pride, right? Boy, that ugly pride gets in our lives. And it messes with our... That's one of the things. But for a lot of us here on this earth, pride comes before a fall. That's what Scripture tells us. So, I want to talk about what should we be aiming for in life? What does Scripture tell us, especially about our relationship with God and our relationship with others? When Jesus here in this moment, you see it's Matthew chapter 22. There's only 28 chapters to Matthew, so you know that it's well within the years of his ministry, probably within that second and third year of his ministry, toward the end, and he has people come to him asking him questions. And in this particular moment, there is a teacher of the law. In fact, some translations say a lawyer, an expert of the law. And what are we talking about? Not the laws of the land like we think today, but the laws of God's law, the laws of the Bible. He's an expert. And so many times when these individuals, these experts, would come to Jesus, they would ask him questions in order to trap him, in order to find some way to accuse him of being a false teacher and leading people astray because they themselves were prideful and they wanted people to follow them more than they wanted people to follow God. And so here we have this moment in Matthew chapter 22 where this expert comes and he asks Jesus a very important question. And Jesus answers it in a very succinct, very, very precise manner. And so if you would, if you found your place, if you're willing and if you're able, would you please stand? I want to read these verses here this morning. Draw these truths out, and then I want to jump to a couple of the other passages that will help us to really break this down further of what Jesus has to say here. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 36. The expert of the law comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" And Jesus said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." What is he saying there? Love God with everything that you are. I loved earlier that we sang that version of "My Jesus, I Love Thee." There at that little tag, "I love you in life, I love you in death, with every beat of my heart, with every breath." That's what we're talking about. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And Jesus has this to say, this is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend upon these two commands. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We're thankful for how it plainly and precisely and pointedly tells us what is most important in this life. It tells us exactly what we should be aiming for. But Father, we confess that these things are hard to do on our own, and we need your help. So I pray that as we examine your word today, would you enlighten our minds? Would you enrapture our hearts with these truths and do so in such a way that we might be able to more accurately apply them in our lives as we leave today? God, would your Spirit work in our hearts and do what he can only do with your word, and that's make it bear fruit in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, very simply, from this passage of Scripture, I believe that the main idea is that we should aim to love God and to love people. That's very simply. He says, love the Lord your God with everything that you are, and then love your neighbor as yourself. These two commands that Jesus gave here are actually found in the Old Testament law, in Leviticus. And in this moment, you see Jesus quoting basically what the expert in the law already knew. The expert was asking him this question in order to trap him, in order to maybe twist his words in such a way that he can say that Jesus was pointing people in a different direction. But Jesus very pointedly said this right here, love God, love people. He said these are the most important commands. He says this is what life's aim should be all about. So it begs the question this morning, what are you aiming for? What are you aiming for in your life? If these are the most important commands that we find in the Word of God, then these are the two things that we should aim for: loving God with everything that we are, and then loving people. And it has to be in that order. We'll see this here in just a moment. But I want to say this up front just in case you fall asleep and you miss it later, okay? And I'm okay with you falling asleep, because if you haven't slept well during the week, God bless you, have a nap right now. But grasp this truth before you do. Amen? Have you ever had... I've never given people permission to fall asleep. But I'm going to give it to you today. Because if you grasp these two truths and you allow them to really work in your heart, you will leave here a changed person. Your love for people is directly proportional to your love for God. I'm a math major. I like math language. So let me put it like this. Your love for people coincides with how much you love God. If you are having a problem loving people, it's because you don't love God as you should. That is a hard truth. And I know I said it right here up front, and now you can go to sleep. All right? Amen? Okay, then don't go to sleep. No, I didn't get any amens. All right, you want to hear it, don't you? I think it's true. And so when I get upset, I know I talk about this a lot because I have issue with how I respond when people don't drive as they should. But my responses in those moments, even though you can't hear them, they are directly proportional to my love for God. The reason why I have a response when somebody doesn't drive as they should, whether or not they turn at a stop sign, even though I got there first. Can anybody testify this morning? I mean, you know, if you've read that manual, even if you get there at the same time, the person on the right goes first. All right, y'all remember that in your driver's manual? The person on the right goes first. But how dare they? Even if it's a tie, the person on the right goes left, and the person on the left, they just go. And then they look at you even when you start to go like, what are you doing? And I want to yell out, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm doing what the manual says. All right? And in that moment, I sit back and I'm like, why do I do that? Why does that even matter? And then I start searching my heart and I realize, you know what? God's still working on me. That love of God, you know, we love because He first loved us, right? Whew. My Jesus, I love Thee. But it's because You love me first. So it's directly proportional. It's related to it. So, the more we love God, the more and the better, and maybe we'll love people as God loves them. Whoo! You talk about change. You talk about seeing people in a different perspective. You start seeing them as God sees them, not as a project, not as an obstacle in your way of what you want, but not even a vehicle to give you what you want. You see them as someone made in the image of God. You see them as someone for whom Jesus died on the cross. You see them as that they are an object of God's love. And if that is true, then they need to be an object of my love. Especially this morning, we've got to understand this, especially those of us that are part of the family of God, right? I know I'm getting into the sermon just a little bit, but let's pause right there because there's a lot to cover in a very short period of time, and y'all ready to listen fast, right? All right, let's look at this aim. All right, the first aim is to love God. And I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, because I really believe this begins, it starts that framework for how we can love God as we should love Him, as we need to love Him, okay? So first, author of Hebrews says, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, again, chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, all these individuals who placed their faith in God, who believed God, and it was accounted to them as righteousness, okay? Flawed people, mind you, flawed people just like you and I, but they had the audacity to say that what God told them was actually true, and I'm going to bank my life on it. I will build my life, right? Didn't we just sing that? They were like the smart carpenter that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. They were the smart carpenter who built their lives upon the rock. The rock who is Jesus. The rock, this rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one, right? We used to sing that. I don't have time to sing songs this morning. Sorry. I'm trying to restrain, okay? But because there's so much to cover. But you've got to listen to this. All right? So, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here's where I got an acrostic this morning for AIM for both of these points. Okay, just so if you want to start guessing in your blanks on your sheets, go ahead. Sometimes you might get them right, and sometimes you're like, I'm glad I don't think like Jonathan thinks. So the first one, abandon your weight. Abandon your weight. You know, when runners are running, and I've talked about this before, and Coach Heim, you know this to be very true, and Reagan, you were a runner, and Ryan, he's still in high school. He's been doing some running. Ethan runs. And so this analogy hits home with me because I'm in the midst of having runners all around me. But when they run, they don't put on their ski suit to run, unless they just want to sweat a lot, unless they're training, I guess. I don't know. I doubt it. But what they do is if you watch the Olympics, they're very scantily clad. I'll just say that much, right? Because they don't want much on them because of wind resistance. They don't need that weight. So they abandon all of that. Even you see them warming up, they have their warm-up suits on. That's what they're for. And they run around, and then shortly before the race, they start taking those warm-up pants off, that warm-up jacket off, and they reveal the uniform that's in front of them because they want to be the one who crosses the finish line first. They abandon their weight. And this is what the author of Hebrews is trying to say here. Lay aside every sin, hindrance and the sin. So here it is. We've got to get rid of sin in our lives. That's what the Bible tells us. If we're going to love God as we should, then sin cannot be a part of our lives. And that's a very difficult thing to do, isn't it? Because we are human beings who are bent on disobeying God. We are bent on not following His commands. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, toward the end, he talked about this struggle, this war that goes on even inside of the Christian, and how the things that he doesn't want to do, those are the things that he finds himself doing. And then he says, the things that I want to do, I don't do them. Who can help me? And he says, thank God through Jesus Christ. There's a struggle that goes on with sin in our lives, but the Bible tells us, lay aside that sin. And here's the reality of it. When we do, there's so much more freedom. We can live life in abundance, like Jesus said when He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You can't have abundant life if sin is dwelling in your hearts. It's just impossible. God cannot bless you. He cannot give you what He wants to give you if sin is there. So lay it aside. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14, I didn't put the scripture on the screen this morning because some of it, they're very lengthy passages, and it's worth your time, honestly, to go back and look at these. So I wanted you to have these as references. I will only summarize many of these. But here, I want to read this one to you. Listen to this. He says, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. For the wages of sin is death." It leads to death. Now, as a Christian, we don't have to worry about the eternal death that is to come, either when we pass from this life or when Jesus comes back and sets foot on this earth as the conquering king. But sin leads to death. That's the bottom line. If you continue in sin, part of you is dying. Don't you understand that? What it does is it makes you more callous to the movement of God in your life and the Spirit's call to lead you in a path of righteousness. Are you with me this morning? All right. But he goes on to say, "But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's spirits are God's sons." So here's what he's talking about here. I try to give you an across. I try to give you a couple of different ways to look at this, okay? Renovate your life. Renovate your life. Right now, we have a perfect example that's going on in our fellowship, Paul. We spent Friday morning deconstructing the stage because we want to get it to a height where it is usable. And that way, more ministry can possibly happen with that space that God has so graciously provided for us. So there had to be some deconstruction, right, to get it where it needed to be. But here coming this week, we're going to start reconstructing that stage so it can be used. That's exactly what happens in our life. When we give God our sin, there's a deconstruction that happens. And let me tell you, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's painful because obviously there are times where we love our sin more than we love God. And that's hard to say and it's hard to admit, but it's the truth. Otherwise, we would live perfect lives. So if that is our state, we need to fall on our knees before God. We need to confess that sin to Him and allow Him to help us because He's the only one who can. Because guess who lived a perfect life? Guess who's the only one who ever lived a perfect life and who is still living today? This Jesus that we just sang about, who has the name above all names. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. We look to Jesus, he says. Renovate your life. There in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 17. Again, I'm not going to read all of this, but it's the same language that Paul uses here in Colossians. He says, "Therefore, put to death." John Owen, a Puritan author of old, he says this, "Be killing sin, or it will be killing you." Let me say that again. "Be killing sin, or it will be killing you." He says, get rid of it. And it's so true. And this is exactly what Paul's talking about here. Put to death. And he goes on in that passage. He starts pointing out these things that we should get rid of in our lives. In fact, the message here, Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase, he says, you got to take off these clothes. You got to get rid of this old filthy set of clothing that you had before you met Jesus. You need to get rid of it. You need to burn it. It needs to be out of your life. Don't put it in your closet to where you can't see it anymore, or you think you can't see it anymore. Just like some of us do. I do it some with clothing. I actually have clothes in my t-shirts in my closet, and then I have t-shirts that are in a drawer. In my chest of drawers. And those t-shirts I use for work, but these I use for wearing around. Anybody else do that? Is that crazy? I'm probably just crazy. But that's what I do. And then when I get enough paint on these in that drawer, right, or I use them long enough and when I put them through the wash, they're just so dingy and they're so dirty, I finally get rid of them. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He said just totally get rid of it. Don't put it in a drawer and use it for later. Don't put it in the drawer to bring out when no one else is looking. You hear what I'm saying? It's not a part of your wardrobe anymore. He said, don't lie to one another. He says, put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language. He said, since you put off the old self with its practices and you put on the new self, it can't go together. And then he goes on, he says, but put on this. He says, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another if anyone has any grievance against you, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you are to forgive. Those are hard things to do on our own. But thank God, because the Holy Spirit is working inside of us, and He knows. He is very good at renovating, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. That's His job. His job is to be inside of you to renovate what's happening. His job is to help you abandon your weight, because He knows that you can't do it on your own. All we have to do is say yes to His leadership. All we have to do is say, I surrender. All we have to do is say, I confess this, I give this to you, God. I don't want this anymore in my life. Be killing sin or it'll be killing you. The next thing he says in this passage of Scripture in Hebrews, increase your effort. I know that sounds kind of funny when we talk about salvation, because salvation isn't by works, is it? Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the Scripture tells us. But works come after. There are works that we are to do as followers of Jesus. If we truly love God, works will happen. There will be fruit in our lives. So this is what he says here. Increase your run with endurance. Increase your effort. I've seen Ryan run. I've seen my son Ethan run. I've seen all their friends run. And a lot of these guys, they are distance runners, which is beyond me. In fact, some mornings they get up and they run 11 miles in the morning just for training. Holy cow, that's an hour and a half of running. That's endurance. And they do it because when it comes to race time, they want to be the first one to cross the finish line. They want to have a personal record, a PR. And if they can get a PR, then all that training is worth it. And they run with endurance because they want to win. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that the runners in the stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. That's what Paul says. Go all out. You know, in athletics, Coach Nate back there. I think about basketball. Leave it all on the court. I mean, you may ask him after. Don't do this, but you could ask him. How many times have you actually said that? And he would probably say a lot. Leave it on the court, especially if it's toward the end of the game and the game is close, and those coaches are trying to pump their players up because they know they have the ability to win. They just need somebody to encourage them, and they say, leave it all on the court. And here's what God is telling us, leave it all on the court. Run with endurance. Run in such a way to win. If you want to have the abundant life, do this. To quote Nike, right? Can I do that? Is it trademark? Just do it, right? So here's the acrostic, or I'm sorry, the another way to look at it: resolve to win. Resolve to win. I love that old hymn that we sing from time to time. I am resolved no longer to linger. Right? Whew. Some great truth. We as children of God must have this resolve in our lives. And if we give up, or if we back off for just one moment, sin will creep in. In 2 Peter chapter 1, there's another lengthy passage, but again, it's worth for you to go back and read it in its entirety. The Apostle Peter says this: His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. God has provided everything we could need to live a life that's pleasing to Him and to walk and live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's available to us. And if we're resolved to win, if we are going to run with endurance, then all that He has available to us will be evident in our lives. He goes on to say later on, he says, for this reason, very reason, make every effort. There it is. Run with endurance. Make every effort. There is work involved. But it's a blessed work. It's an incredible work. If you want to see the glory of God on display in your life, be resolved to win. Run with endurance. Increase your efforts. God's power and His promises, they fuel our efforts. Let me say that again, because it's here in this passage. If you read it in its entirety, He says it's divine power. But then in the next verse, He says, by these He has given us very great and precious promises. God's power and His promises, they fuel our efforts. Now, the last one here on this aim, and you're saying thank you because, Jonathan, you got one more, and I'm going to go quickly. Maintain your focus, keeping our eyes on Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul says, not that I've already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make, there's that wording again, every effort to take hold of it, because I have also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. Is that my mic? Donnie, switch.
So, is that a sign that I've talked long enough today? All right. He says this, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Do you see what he's doing? He's maintaining his focus. When a runner runs and they look to the side or try to look behind them to see who's closely behind, they slow down. Because they didn't keep their eyes on the finish line. Have you ever noticed that? Here's the R word here. Reach for Jesus in your life. And if you want to love God as He deserves to be loved, you've got to abandon your weight. You've got to increase your effort, and you've got to maintain your focus. So here's some questions I want to ask real quick before we get into the next one. Are you loving God with all that you are? Do you have sin that is hindering you? Are you doing all you can for God? And are you keeping your eyes on Jesus? Think about those things. Because if we want to love God, if this is our aim, love God, love people, first part, love God, this is what we got to do. All right, let's look at love people very briefly this morning. I know we need to get to that, and let's just jump to the first point, and we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 through 8. Many of you know this passage very well, but I want to give you the aim, all right, in this passage, and I'll share with you where it comes from this passage. First, you've got to adjust your motivation. And what Paul says here in this passage, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. We're not looking for our own gain. We've got to, and that's very hard to do. To adjust our motivation here in this life is very hard to do, especially when we live in a culture that says it's all about you. Especially in this culture where it says you get what you can get, and it doesn't matter how it affects anybody else in your life. Am I wrong? You know, In our Constitution, we have this idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's great, all right? But what we forget, it's not at the expense of others, especially for those of us who are trying to love God with all that we are and trying to love people at the same time. We cannot pursue these things at the expense of those around us. This is what Paul's trying to say. He goes on in Romans chapter 12, 9 and 10. He says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good." Now listen to this. "Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another." Take the lead, he says. That's a motivation adjustment. Because most of the time, people on this earth, we want to honor ourselves. We want to make ourselves look bigger, better, and maybe even bigger. So here's the R word in that. Reorient your thinking. Reorient. What John chapter 13 says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, "I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." People will know we are Christians by the way we love one another, especially in the household of faith, especially in our church family. We got to adjust our motivation. And then we need to invert our scope. Invert your scope. And here's what I'm talking about here in this. He says, "Look not to your own interests." I know this flows from the very first one. But as we're aiming, we've got to adjust our motivation, and then we got to invert our scope. And I took out my phone because here on this, with the advent of the cell phone, there's this little thing, and I've talked about this before, but there's this little thing that's called a selfie. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you have this little button. My phone right here in this bottom right-hand corner, it has these arrows that are in a circle. So what it does is it now the focus is on me. This is how most of us walk around in life. With our phones on us. But what Paul is talking about here, he says, don't look on your own interests. He says, turn that camera around. Oh, now there are so many more people around me than what I knew about. And because there's so many more people around me that I now am aware of, I start thinking about how is what I say and what I do affecting the way someone thinks about God? That's a hard question to ask. How's what I am saying and what I'm doing affected? Hopefully, it's a positive effect. Hopefully, it is pointing to God and all His goodness. But when we invert our scope and we start looking around and we see everybody that's around us, guess what? We're not focused upon what we can do to build ourselves up. If we're going to love people as God calls us to love people, if we're going to love people as God has loved us, that's the command. We got to turn the camera around. And we've got to see those around us. Galatians chapter 6, he says, carry one another's burdens. In this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Remove your blinders. Remove your blinders. That's a good word. Romans 15, 1 and 2 says, "Now we who are strong have an obligation to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not to please ourselves. Each one of us is to please his neighbor for his good to build him up." Find ways to build others up. That's very practical, right? Maybe it's just a word of encouragement. Maybe it's... You see the need and you meet that need without asking. Maybe it's also speaking truth and love in a person's life. Because you know that they cannot live on a lie. Because if they're living on a lie, then they are like, they're not like that smart carpenter. They've built their lives on the sand, and when something comes in their lives, that storm's going to hit against that house, and the house is going to fall. So the best thing that we can do is share some truth in a person's life, but we got to be very careful about how we share it. Jesus didn't shy away from sin in people's lives, right? He told it how it was, and then he says, here's my help. Last one, you need to mirror your example. In verse 5 there in that passage of Scripture, it says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. And it goes on to talk about how Jesus left heaven, and he came, and he put on a flesh suit, and he lived among us, and then he went to the cross to die for us, just like a servant. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, he says this, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21, for you were called to this because Christ has also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Here's the R word, remember who you are following. Remember who you are following. It's very close, because here, you go back to love God. If we're maintaining our focus, then we will remember who we're following, because our eyes are on Jesus, and we begin to think about how he lived when he was here, and we begin to think about how he desires for us to live now, and we start living that way. Jesus in John 13, he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do as I have done for you. It takes humility to wash the feet of someone else. You know, earlier in the sermon, I talked about pride, didn't I? Talked about arrogance. Pride will not allow you to wash someone's feet. So if we are adjusting our motivation, if we are inverting our scope, and if we are mirroring our example, then guess what? Humility will take the lead in our lives. So here's some questions as we close out today. Do you love people as God loves you? Do you have wrong motives in loving people? Are you looking for ways you can build someone up? And then lastly, how can you wash the feet of someone in your own life? That's a great question. Maybe if anything else in this sermon today, as you've been here and you've been listening to my rantings and my ravings, right? Maybe if anything else, that would be, as you respond this morning, that's your question. God, I want to wash someone's feet. I don't know what that looks like. Show me who it is. Show me what to do. Because I know that's what you want. I know that's what I need to do if I'm going to love you as I should and to love people as you desire me to. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Sherry is going to play Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. The invitation is simple this morning, I think. What are you aiming for? What's your life's goal? Scripture tells us it's to love God and to love people. Maybe this morning God has revealed some sin in your life. That's your first step. If you're going to love God as you should, sin's got to be gone. Would you confess it this morning? Would you just give it to God? He's the only one who can take it away. Go and live for him with every breath, with all that you are. And maybe this morning, God's laid somebody on your heart. You would say, Pastor Jonathan, you're right. I need to love somebody around me. And I know exactly who that is. But I'm not sure what washing their feet looks like. Maybe that's your prayer. God, help me to know how to wash that person's feet. Help me to know how I can build them up. Because I want to love them as you love them. And I know you want to love them through me. God in heaven, wow, your word, it's hard sometimes. The truth that we see there, we know that it's not going to be evident in our lives unless you help us. So God, we fall at your feet. And we beg you to help us. Because we want to love you as you deserve to be loved. And we want to love people as you love them. God, help us. Give us wisdom. Give us the endurance that we need to run this race well. And help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. We love you. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank y'all so much for being here today. I'm not going to rehearse all the many announcements. You have them in your bulletin. Just do remember tomorrow. One that's not in your bulletin is the Young at Heart trip, 10:30, leaving here for the Capitol building. So if you want to be a part of that, please be here before. We're leaving at 10:30, so be here before 10:30. There's several of our men are getting ready to receive this morning's offering. I said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. Thank you for faithfully giving. Please, I want to challenge you. Please continue to do so. God has been blessing us with different opportunities. There's opportunity. Y'all been faithful to give toward Ghana, so thank you for that. Our team is ready to go. They're excited about what God is going to do in and through them. Be praying for them. There's also other opportunities that we have in ministry that without your faithful giving, it's not going to be possible. So thank you for doing that, and please continue. If you'll stand, I will pray. And y'all have an incredible week, and walk in the love of God so that you may love someone else as he loves them. Amen. Father in heaven, you're good and you're kind and gracious, and we give you the praise for all things. We thank you for today, and we ask, God, that you will help us to apply your word to our lives, so that we can be salt and light to the world around us. Thank you for this offering that is about to be received. Bless it, Father, for your kingdom's sake, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.